Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, back once again on the Juice on the Cuse podcast here with you as we are here, January 8th. Basketball team's got some stuff coming up, a couple of big-time matchups in the next week or two. We'll get to that in a little bit, but Matt D'Agostino here with Wes Chang, and we've got Brad Bierman aboard for this one as well, also part of the Syracuse Rivals website and part of the Believe Network here. So we kind of wanted to toss some things around with Brad because we haven't been able to hear from him yet and get his thoughts on both football and the basketball end of things. Wes, with Brad here, as why don't you start things off here and talk a little football with him?
Yeah, so obviously the big news from the weekend is that Syracuse landed a commitment from four-star defensive back Marcellus Barnes Jr., selecting the Orange over a couple dozen offers, but specifically finalists Ole Miss and Alabama. How often do you hear that Syracuse beating out two SEC teams for a commit? So with that commitment, Syracuse now has 3 4-star prospects in the 2024 class as Barnes joins Yassine Willis and Emmanuel Ross as 4-star commits to the Orange. And he had this to say about his recruitment to our Adam Friedman, and I'll quote this: "Fran Brown is like an uncle to me, and that relationship on and off the field is huge to me because I feel like I'm a person over a player," end quote. So I think this just once again shows you the value that Fran Brown brings as an elite recruiter. And I've had a chance to be on some of media opportunities with Coach Brown. Brad, you have as well. And he positioned himself in recruiting, not just being able to put the student athlete in the best position possible as a football player, but also in life. And I think this is another example of that. Brad, I know that you and I have been doing recruiting for a really long time, and this is just a great era right now for Syracuse recruits.
Pinch me. Am I up from this dream yet? I mean, this has been an unbelievable 6 weeks. You talk about, you know, under-promising, over-delivering. I think that really says everything about Coach Fran so far. He has come in and backed up everything he has said, and how often does that happen? I mean, we can settle for exaggeration sometimes and, you know, being positive and the glass half full, of course, but it comes down to relationships. And Fran Brown is just has the track record to show that he's the top recruiter in the country. And he's only going to bring the similar type of coaches that are great recruiters to his staff. And when I look at the film of these three players, the three four stars on the team, Ross, the wide receiver, Willis, I just love Willis. Wow, he is going to be fantastic in the backfield next year with LaQuinn Allen. And Marcellus Barnes, I just love how he covers. Athleticism. We're going to see the type of athletes we have not seen play Syracuse football. And if you go back real quick, you know, Coach Ben, he recruited great athletes, right? Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, Floyd Little, Larry Zonka. Then it goes into Coach Maloney. Took him 7 years, but he got Joe Morris. He got Bill Hurley. He got Art Monk. Then you go to Coach Mack. It took him 7 years. Remember, everyone wanted to fire Coach Mack in the early 80s. Finally turned it around in 87. Now, he paved the way for Coach P with great talent. He kept it running for those 14 seasons. And then we saw disaster with Greg Robinson. And the program really hasn't recovered since then until now. this is really accelerating the recruiting that we've never seen before at Syracuse. This is my 49th season that I just covered. Never seen this before in half a century.
Certainly, a couple of those coaches you mentioned probably would have liked the transfer portal to help them out in some of these recruiting pitches as well. So tell us a little bit more about Barnes, what you like out of him. You know, I know you see the athleticism, certainly. What specifically can Syracuse fans look for when they see Marcellus Barnes on the field?
He's a great cover guy. I mean, 6'1", 6'2". He's only going to get heavier, gain weight. He's only going to get stronger. And what's Coach Fran's specialty? Defensive backfield. So I think he's really going to develop. I think that's the other thing about this staff, development. You'll see these three stars come in, and they'll be near four-star players by the time they're sophomore juniors, if they don't transfer out, as you mentioned, with the transfer portal era. But I see players that are going to go to the NFL, and that's what this staff is about. Let's face it, Syracuse has been underrepresented in the NFL in the last decade or so, and I think that's going to change now. I think you're going to see the athleticism from Barnes. Ross is a tall, rangy wide receiver, and Willis, as I mentioned, he looked like man among boys in his high school games, and I think that's true for all these four-star players, men among boys in their high school games, and they're just going to get better at Syracuse.
Brad, I wanted to switch over from the gridiron to the hardwood. You know, we've been talking, Matt and I have been talking a lot about Syracuse basketball and their NCAA tournament prospects. And, you know, we in the last podcast, we talked about Seth Davis kind of downgrading Syracuse, saying that he's selling stock, that Syracuse isn't going to make the NCAA tournament. Matt and I kind of had a discussion about that. Do you see Syracuse in Adrian Autry's first year as an NCAA tournament team?
Well, it's a toss-up, in my opinion, right now. And I know, Matt, you're bullish on the Orange improving as the season goes on. Wes, I think you're more even-keeled about it. But you, as you may remember, in one of our earlier audio podcasts in the fall, Wes, I kind of talked about dividing the schedule into groups of three games. So you have 31 games. I'm going to throw out Chaminade, Division II opponent in Hawaii. So you have 30 games. That's 10 three-game bites, as I would call them. And the first four, Syracuse went 9-3 out of conference and the one in-conference loss at Virginia. Now we're ending the next three-game bite with the BC game in the Dome on Wednesday night. So far in this three-game bite, beat Pittsburgh, lost to Duke. I think we'll come back and beat BC. Have to go 2-1 in these three-game stretches, because after that, at North Carolina, never have won in the Smith Center, although a quick story I'll tell you is I've seen Syracuse win in the Smith Center in 1988 against North Carolina, A&T. That was in the first-round NCAA tournament game. Other than that, Syracuse 0-6, and I don't see that changing this season if you look at the matchup. Then they go to Pittsburgh. Maybe a win there. It was borderline the game in the Dome on December 30th. And then Miami in the Dome. Do you hold serve at the Dome this year unbeaten and beat a higher-ranked Miami team? I don't know about that. Florida State, NC State, I'm going to say two wins there. At BC in the rematch, not so sure. At Wake Forest, I have a loss, beating Louisville, beating Clemson in the Dome. UNC back in the Dome, toss-up, probably a loss. At Georgia Tech, maybe a win. NC State, loss. Notre Dame, a win. At Virginia Tech, loss. Louisville, win. Clemson, a loss. So to me, that's 9-8 in the final 17 games. That puts Syracuse right at 19-12, maybe 20-11. I don't know if that's NCAA tournament worthy at this point. The other note is Syracuse ends the regular season on March 5th. They may have an eight-day break before the start of the ACC tournament. No idea what type of team is going to show up 8 days with not playing any games. So will they have to make a run in the ACC tournament or not to make the NCAA? Right now, I would say 20-12, not going to make the NCAA tournament.
All right. So I guess more specifically, what have your thoughts been on Coach Autry's first year? What have you liked? What would you like to see more of or improvements upon here later in the season?
Well, I really like the job he's done so far in a nutshell. And, you know, I think I'm the only media member I was trying to look to see. Adrian Autry Red is the third Syracuse head coach I've covered in my career. So Roy Danforth's final season, Jim Boeheim's 47, and now Red. And I think he's done a great job. And you look at, I was kind of doing this comparison because I can. Jim Boeheim's first season, 76-77. Adrian Autry's first season, 23-24. Well, of course, you guys know the world of college basketball is so much different now, 50 years later. But he's already seen a record of four defeats. Well, Jim Boeheim only lost four games his entire first season. So that kind of puts in a little bit of perspective. You know, he won 100 games in 4 years, so that's really going to be hard to match. But putting it in relative terms, really like the job, because coming back to beat Colgate really showed me something. I'm not sure if Syracuse beats Colgate under Jim Boeheim, to be quite honest. Coming back in the game I attended against Pittsburgh in the Dome, I'm not sure if Syracuse comes back in that game or you know, loses in a back and forth in the final minutes. So I've been very impressed by that. I know you guys have talked previously on the podcast about changes in the starting lineup. It'll be interesting to see. But from a macro level, really important to get to that 20-win mark and be on the verge of the tournament, I think, to have success for Red's first year. But don't forget also, missing one player, a scholarship player in Westry, really at the end of his bench, the big guys are too young to contribute. So with what he's done with the 7, 8, 9 players, I think it's to be commended to have a 10-4 record at this point.
That's Brad Bierman, who may have more basketball stories related to SU and even football stories related to SU than Wes and I maybe combined. He's at 49 seasons. This is your 49th season covering them?
49th season, yes. So looking to make it to 50 and really hoping that Red can get basketball program back to national prominence.
Quite the accomplishment right there. Brad, thanks for joining us here. We will see on the other side, Rich Scanlon, a guy that neither Wes nor I will attempt to pick a fight with at any point in our lives. We'll be back here on the Juice and the Cues podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Juice on the Cues podcast on the Believe Network. Wes Chang, Matt D'Agostino with you today, and we are joined by our great friend Rich Scanlon, former Syracuse and NFL linebacker. Rich, always appreciate the time. How's it going today?
What's up, guys? How you doing, man? I'm excited.
Yeah, I love talking shop with you as always. You know, Rich, we're about a month and a half into the Fran Brown era. So much going on at Syracuse, especially on the recruiting front. Are you liking what you're seeing from the new staff?
I'm loving it, actually. So haven't got a chance to meet Fran in person. I've been keeping tabs of what's going on, obviously. I'm excited about the staff he's building, the momentum he's building. You know, hopefully all these kids show up when it's time to play. But looking forward to getting up there in the spring. But yeah, I've been hearing the buzz, staying in touch with all the guys. And yeah, we're pretty excited about this. Couldn't have gone better, you know, in my opinion, on how things have started. So.
Now, Wes and I were talking about how Coach Brown reached out to the alums to say, you know, he wants you guys at practice. Wes and I got really excited thinking it may have pertained to any Syracuse alumni, maybe not just the athletes. So I'm a little bummed that maybe I won't get to be able to put pads on. But have you heard about that? Do you plan on maybe taking him up on his offer?
Yeah, I'll be there. You know, I don't know if I'll be at the first practice, but I'll definitely be there. I'm trying to drag as many guys as I can up there. You know, hopefully it's when the weather is a little bit better. So I'm hearing April is when guys are going to go up there. So you know, fully intend to be up there, meet with Fran and the guys. You know, again, really happy about the staff he's building. Excited that they kept Nunzio. You know, Nunzio and I have a good relationship back from Bergen Catholic days. And so just super psyched about the staff he's built and the momentum he's building with the kids. And recruiting is what it is these days. So I'm excited about it. And I think he's done a good job of recognizing the roots, you know, of Syracuse football. I know he's reached out to, you know, Coach P and a couple other people, you know. And so he's doing it the right way, which I think is great. He's had some help. You know, Coach Hicks is staying on to kind of help shepherd him through that process. He's a Jersey guy, so he knows a lot about, you know, kind of the roots of Syracuse, you know, late 80s, early 90s, you know. So, yeah, just pumped about it.
Elaborate a little bit more on that for me, Rich, in terms of what kind of message does that send to you, a former player, or any of these other guys that have been involved in the program, when the coach is like, you know, welcoming you guys back with open arms and encouraging you guys to be part of the program?
Well, I think he, you know, he recognizes, you know, what it took prior to, you know, I think it's been what, probably 20, 25 years, you know, you know, for us to kind of like get back to this level of buzz, you know, and so I think he recognizes kind of what has made Syracuse a premier program, and it was for many, many years, and trying to get back to that. I know John, the AD, recognizes that as well. I mean, we were always great when, you know, we had 20 guys from Jersey, you know, we had a couple guys from Long Island, we, you know, couple guys from Connecticut, bunch of Pennsylvania guys. We plucked a couple, you know, JUCOs from Texas, and we had a couple Florida kids. You know, that can still work, and we got away from that for a very long time. I don't know why. It's not like Jersey or those places stopped producing football talent. So I think he recognizes that, and I think, you know, John and, you know, the rest of the Q staff has recognized that. So we're trying something different, which I love. You know, it's a little bit of a, you know, non-traditional hire in terms of like experience, but in terms of pedigree and what you'd want to see in a recruiter, and, you know, background and kind of where he's from in Jersey. I just think that's, I'm actually proud of the, you know, athletic department for taking a risk on this, and probably, you know, it's better to be early on, you know, greatness than to be, you know, on time with mediocrity, I guess.
You know, Rich, you mentioned Coach Nunzio Campanelli, who has great ties to Bergen Catholic. You know, obviously his brother's now, Vito, now the head coach there. And, you know, Coach Brown specifically, as you know, mentioned, he's going to get back into New Jersey. He's going to follow that recruiting footprint that Coach Pasqualoni had in the late 90s and early 2000s. So as a Bergen Catholic guy, when you see that half the class is from the Garden State, is from New Jersey, that's got to really bring a smile to your face to know that this, you know, we are throwing it back to that era where we understand our recruiting territory and footprint and are going to recruit that area hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, you know, we'll see what the results look like, but it's kind of where, like, that's how I got gravitated to the school. I mean, it's 3.5 hours away from where I used to live, and it's far enough where you're away from, you know, things, but close enough where family can watch you. You know, you play premier conference, you play against premier opponents, the facilities are getting up to snuff, which is another thing that, you know, we need to work on. So there's not a lot of reason. And the top school, like Bama and Georgia, I know they can pay 30 guys on both sides of the ball, but they can only pay 30 guys. Like, and when I say pay, I mean NIL. I mean, that's a whole horse of a different color. I mean, that's kind of where this is going. But there's only so many spots, and kids want to stay close to home so their families and friends can come watch them. They want to play in a premier conference. Syracuse got good facilities. It's a fun place to be. Good education. I mean, so there's not a lot of reasons to not like Syracuse. If you have people who can recruit.
Early to excellence, better to do that than on time to mediocrity. I'm going to use that at least several dozen times in the next calendar year. So, Rich, thanks for bringing some excellence to mine and Wes's world of mediocrity here on the Jews and the Q's podcast. We appreciate
your time. You guys are trying, though. You're making the right moves. So I'll give you that.
We're recruiting the right guys to appear as guests on the podcast. So you got to give us that, Rich.
Yeah, no, you guys are trying to be ahead of the curve. So you're definitely A+ for that. So thanks for having me, guys.
Always we'll appreciate it. Thanks so much, Rich.
Appreciate All right, thanks, it. Guys. We'll be back to wrap things up here in a minute.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Juice on the Q's podcast. We are running like clockwork, Wesley. I just had to slide that one in there at one point here. But some final thoughts as the regular season ends in the NFL this past weekend. Tommy DeVito ending the season with the Giants and gets to the point where, for Syracuse fans, you can look at it and say that him playing those games for 3 weeks in a row, winning three in a row for the Giants, easily the best story for the New York Giants this season. Unfortunately, if you happen to be a Syracuse and a Giants fan, that was probably the worst thing that could have happened for the Giants this season. They end up 6-11. If they lose those three games, they end up with just three wins on the year, and they are looking at the second pick in the NFL draft. As it sits now, they will draft number six, which, if the Giants are going to go with a quarterback, may have to trade up to do so to get somebody that they really want, whereas they would have been in prime position to do so at the number two spot. So it's a great story for Syracuse fans. It's a great story for Giants fans. In terms of the front office, they're working a little bit harder here come the springtime to figure out how they're going to move the team forward in the next season.
You know, Matt, I want to close the show out on the basketball world. I know it's almost flipped because you always close the show on basketball. I always close the show on football. I want to flip this around because I was scrolling through Twitter the other day and I see that Bryson Godine, the one-time Syracuse freshman, and this is the 1920 season now when he was at Syracuse, he actually dropped 40 points on Siena on January 5. It was great to see just because he's bounced around so much. You know, after Syracuse, he transferred to Providence, didn't play much there, transfers to Fairfield in the offseason. He's finally getting a chance to play. You know, he only averaged 1.9 points through his first 3 years of college. He finally got a chance to play. He's playing 27 minutes a game through 14 games, averaging 14.6 points. So, you know, with the COVID year, this is actually his sixth NCAA season.
Wow.
So he had a redshirt year plus with the transfer, plus he, you know, has that COVID year. So it's his sixth year in the NCAA. I can't believe he's still kicking around, but 40 points for him. Just really happy for him. I want to wish him a congratulations. And again, former Syracuse recruit, former Syracuse freshman, played 1 year at Syracuse, still kicking around in the NCAA.
And possibly being there 6 years could be a doctor by the end of it, if all goes well with that many
plenty
years.
Plenty of people go to college for 6 years, Matt.
They're called doctors. You're right. You're absolutely right. Other than Syracuse, I've seen more Siena college basketball games than any other institution other than Syracuse. So Godine taking it to my adopted hometown team, but good for him. Good to see the guys having success in other places. That'll do it here for us on the Juice on the Cues podcast. Thanks once again for tuning in on the Believe Network and on the Rivals site. For Wes Chang, I'm Matt D'Agostino. Till next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.